Matthew chapter number 14, I want to read a familiar portion of Scripture, a story from Scripture that I think you know well. Matthew 14, beginning in verse number 22, the Bible says this, "And straightway," and just to put it in context, that's just after the feeding of the 5,000. So imagine being one of the disciples and seeing that miracle and just having gone through that. "Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story that you give to us in your word, that we might learn from it. And Lord, now as I bring the message that you've laid on my heart for today, Lord, would you please empty me of myself? Lord, would you please fill me with your spirit? And I pray that every believer here today, as they hear your word, they also would be filled with your spirit as a listener. Lord, if there's somebody here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord God, please, we're asking that you would indeed have your will and your way in these next few moments that we spend together. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about Peter's example of faith. Peter's example of faith. Now, some of you might in your mind be thinking, okay, why are we using Peter as an example of faith? Because Peter sinks. He sees the wind, the storm, all of that, he sinks. But let me just kind of hit the rewind button just for a second. Prior to that, you know what he does? He walks on the water. That's pretty amazing to me. I don't know about you. I've never had the opportunity to do that before. Maybe in heaven God will give us that opportunity, but I've not done it on this side of eternity. Peter was indeed a man of faith. Now I will say this, Peter was a man who messed up too. And you know what? I'm glad that God even records the times that people messed up, because it helps me to understand I'm going to mess up too and what I should do when I mess up to follow their examples if they do the right thing. Now, Peter, he's an example to us of faith. And when I talk about faith, I want you to think about this morning. Really, what is faith? I think if I were to ask for a definition of faith this morning, there could probably be several definitions that we could give. Maybe you would, like me, go back to your Sunday school days when you were a kid and there was an acrostic that they would give us that was forsaking all, I trust him. That's pretty good. I get the point of that. But I would assume that probably eventually we would all come to Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And we can't get a better definition or description of faith than that, because that is straight from God's word. But this morning, I want us to emphasize, and I want you to think about one particular aspect of faith. And it's this. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but it is simply obeying in spite of consequence. Think about it. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. It's not just trying really hard to believe even though we can't see something with our physical eyes. It's just simply obeying despite the consequences or the storms that follow. Now, Peter's example of faith. Number one, Peter had a serving faith. He had a serving faith. Notice that he did what Jesus told all the disciples to do. In verse 22, the Bible says that Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And understand that for them, this was something, if we can use the word, simple. It was something they could easily understand, something they had done before. It was a normal part of their lives. And Jesus said, I want you to get into the ship, but I want you to go to the other side. There's a simple application for all of us here. We need to have a serving faith and do those things that God tells us we're supposed to do. Those, if you will, simple, those ordinary things that from His Word He says, hey, these are things that are to characterize the lives of Christians. A few things I wrote down to just give us an idea on some of these things. Number one, baptism. Once we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the first step of obedience is believer's baptism by immersion. Perhaps you're here this morning and there's been a time in your life when you've received Christ as your personal Savior, but you've never followed Him in baptism. Let me encourage you this morning. Have a serving faith. Just do that which Jesus said we are to do as His followers. I also put down here church membership and faithful church attendance, service in and through that local church. How important it is for you and I to be faithful to God's house. You know, in Alaska, I would talk to a lot of people about coming to church, and I'd get this response quite often. Well, preacher, I can worship God in the woods just the same as I can worship Him in the church house. Well, let me say this. You can worship God in the woods, okay? I've done it many times. But that misses the whole point of what Jesus tells us to do. In Hebrews, God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And by the way, the day is approaching. And you know, I'm so sad for those who say, well, listen, I don't really need church. You know, I'll show up maybe on Sunday morning. I'll just kind of warm a pew. I'll do my duty. But other than that, you know, I got these podcasts that I can listen to, or I can go to the internet and go to this particular site and I can listen to this particular preacher, or I can turn on my TV, or I can read this book. And you know, how sad, and can I say this, how selfish if as Christians we think, hey, I don't need God's house because I can get what I need elsewhere. You see, the whole point is we come together to exhort one another. It's not just about what we get and what we receive when we go to God's house, but also what we can do to serve others and to encourage others in the faith. Well, we need to have a serving faith and be in God's house when the doors are open. I also wrote this one down, tithing. You know, that's just a simple act of obedience. That's a serving faith that 10% of what God gives to us, it already belongs to Him, so we're supposed to turn around and just give it back to God. And can I add, since we're talking about missions and we're talking about grace giving today, the tithe is where giving begins. We give God His tithe. Then when we talk about the missions offering, it is over and above God's tithe. We can't give God His tithe and say, this is my offering to you, God, because it already belongs to Him. And so maybe you're here today as a Christian and you've never really been a tither. Let me encourage you, have a serving faith. Just take God at His word. Begin to give God what already belongs to Him. And then, of course, we could mention the Great Commission. That's what the emphasis of today is. You and I doing our part, doing that which God says, hey, we're to do, we're to go into all the world, we're to preach the gospel to every creature. We need to have a serving faith. Now, here's a part of the story that I absolutely love, that as Jesus told them to get into the boat, to go to the other side, and they're demonstrating that serving faith, Jesus, verse 23, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. Jesus went to pray. The Bible says, and when the evening was come, He was there alone. Now, I don't know about you, but I've often thought about it. I wonder what the prayer list of Jesus Christ looked like. I don't know that He actually wrote one down. He probably kept it in His mind. I don't know. And I'm not sure what all He prayed about when He was on that mountain. But I am very sure that one of the things He prayed about was that trip those disciples were making across that water. I believe He prayed for them as they did what He told them to do. And I'm glad to say today that as you and I do what He asks us to do, what He commands us to do, He prays for us. That's an amazing thing to think about. I thought about Romans chapter number 8. Here's what Paul says. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What an amazing thought. And it's as if Paul says, you know what, that's not enough, let me go on. And he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, or I guess in the context of where we are today, we could say, or storm, as it is written. He says, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wow, what a thought this morning. And you know, I think it's almost as if Paul says, you know what, that's not quite enough either. He goes on, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, or again we could add here, nor storm, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful thought today, that as you and I exercise serving faith, Jesus Christ prays for us. And there's nothing that can separate us from His love. You know, it's interesting to me as you think about this and as you look at this story, storms in this life will come. I don't necessarily mean the storms outside. They will come too. But I'm talking about the spiritual storms, the storms of difficulty in our lives. They will come. And you know, they will come even as we serve the Lord. Our health and wealth prosperity gospel preachers of today are preaching a lie. They're trying to tell us, hey, as long as we're doing the best we can, as long as we're serving the Lord, life's going to be wonderful and name it and claim it and all these things. No. Let me point out to you, these disciples were right in the very center of God's will. They were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do, to get into the boat and to go to the other side. And it's as they're in the center of God's will that they encounter this storm. But oh, what a wonderful thing that when those storms come, Jesus is praying for us. And He allowed this storm to continue, and He has reasons for that. You know, it's interesting that the very thing that the disciples feared, which was the storm itself, that's what brought Jesus Christ very close to them on the water and in a very amazing and supernatural way. And isn't it true that God can work in our lives in the storm? In ways that He can't get through to us when the water is calm. At least that's the way it is for me. And you know, I have the confidence from His Word that God uses storms for our good and for His glory. You know, for you and I, it's just simply a matter of faith. We just need to do what He's told us to do. Have that serving faith. And can I remind you this morning, faith is not just believing in spite of evidence. It's just simply obeying in spite of the consequences or the storms that come our way. Peter had a serving faith, but also number two, I want to talk about this. Peter had a special faith. In verse 24, the Bible says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. It was tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. Verse 25 says that it was the fourth watch of the night. By the way, that's somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. Now put yourself in the disciples' place. I don't know about you, but from about 3 a.m. on, I'm not real coherent, okay? So this is a tough time. And now the Bible says in verse 25 that Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And the disciples, verse 26, they saw Him walking on the sea. They were troubled and they cried out. They said, it's a spirit! Now, I have to tell you, I can identify with these disciples just a little bit. Let's not be too hard on them. When I lived in Alaska, when we lived in Juneau, we had a friend there who had a boat. It was a nice-sized boat. I don't remember how big it was to tell you, but it was one of those kind of boats that, fishing boat, but it did have a part. You go down a couple of stairs, open a door, and you could go into an area where there were some beds there, and you could sleep there in the boat overnight if you were going to spend the night there. And he said to me, he said, Brother Snyder, would you like to go fishing? Sure, I love to go fishing. And so we went out to a place called Icy Straits. Beautiful day, just absolutely gorgeous. And we took off, we went out there and we started fishing. And it's great fishing in Alaska because you actually catch fish in Alaska. And I enjoy that, you know. And we were having a good time, but we didn't realize it, but a storm had rolled in on us. I mean, just in a matter of moments. And wow, the swells were taking us up and down and just to say it kindly, I lost my lunch, and it was getting really, really bad, okay? And finally, the owner of the boat said, listen, we got to get back to shore, and we got to get back now. And his son had come along with us. He was, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old at the time, and he told his son, now, son, listen, he said, I want you to go down the stairs. I want you to get in the bottom of the boat. I want you to stay there and don't come out. And, you know, I'm not really that comfortable with what he's saying at this point, you know. And then he says, now, Brother Snyder, he says, over here, he said, this bar, it's mounted here. He said, you hold on to this and don't let go. And I'm thinking, I really don't like this now. And so he says, we're going back to shore. So he took off and he was going as fast as he could. And we're going up over that top of a swell, and we'd come down, the boat would smack down on the water, and we'd hit the next swell and the boat would smack down on the water. About halfway back to shore, his son came out from the bottom of the boat. He's crying. He's saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He says, we're going to die. We're going to die. I really believed him. I thought he was right. I didn't think we were going to make it back to shore. So you understand, I can kind of identify with these disciples and the storm that they're in and all that's going on. But in the midst of this, verse 27, the Bible says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Whoa, 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 preacher. Hold on. You mean in the storms of life, we can have a good attitude? Well, hey, remind you this morning about those Macedonians. They're pretty amazing people. They were in a great trial of affliction, and they were in deep poverty. And the Bible says they had joy as they gave. Wow. What an amazing thing. You and I, as we serve the Lord, even when the storm is beyond what we thought a storm could ever be, we can have a good attitude. He says, be of good cheer. Why? He says, because it is I. Who's that? The one who just prayed for them. The one from whose love they could never be separated. The one, by the way, who knew this storm would come long before it ever came. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. And then he says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Now, here's where Peter comes into the picture. In verse 28, the Bible says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, Peter is usually the first to speak up, and no exception here. Peter sometimes was, you know, open mouth, insert foot. Peter sometimes was open mouth, change feet. Okay, so Peter has the reputation for this, but let me tell you, Peter's really stepping out by faith here is what he's doing. And he says, Lord, if it's really you, he says, would you please let me step out onto the water and walk to you? Couple of quick applications here. Number one, when you feel impressed to do something for the Lord, ask the Lord first, Lord, is this really you? Be careful. You know, I use this application a lot when it comes to missions giving. Sometimes we can get wrapped up in missions. We can get excited about missions, and boy, those cards go out for faith promise and grace giving. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can put a number down there that's based on emotion and not on prayer. So maybe perhaps you're here today and you haven't been giving. Maybe this card that you received today, you've been, well, should I give? Let me encourage you, pray and say, God, is this what you would have me to do? But also, do you see there, he says, Lord, if it's really you, would you let me come to you on the water? You realize it's okay to ask the Lord, Lord, would you let me serve you in this particular way? Lord, would you let me give this particular amount? Lord, would you let me be a missionary somewhere in the world where I would go win souls and plant churches? Now, by the way, he may say, no, that's not what I have for you. But you know what? He may just say to you, come. He may just say, you know what? This is what I have for you. Ask, Lord, would you let me serve you? And Jesus answers there in verse 29. I'm not sure how exactly he answered, but I just picture it being a very calm, come. Come on, Peter. And the Bible says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, can you just hit the pause button for a second? I know he sinks. That comes later. But I want to focus on this truth right now. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Some of you, this will be really easy. Some of you, it'll be more difficult. But can you use your sanctified imagination with me this morning? Put yourself in Peter's place. If Jesus had just said to you, come, how would you get out of the boat? Now, I'm going to be transparent, okay? For me, because I lack faith sometimes, I think I would probably be putting my toe over the edge of the boat and I would be putting it down like this because, you see, I want to check this thing out, you know. I've never walked on water before. This is something brand new, you know. And I want to know, is it really going to hold me? And, you know, is my foot going to get wet or is my foot going to get stay dry? You know, how's this going to work? I'm not sure. And so I want to know, okay, is it going to hold me? But also, I got to be honest with you, spending 10 years in Alaska, I also want to know, hey, is the water cold? You know, because if I'm going down, I want to know what I'm really getting into here. You know, is the water cold? And I tell you, the experience I had in Alaska, I was preaching through Scripture, and one of the men that was there in the church, he realized through the teaching of Scripture, he had been saved earlier in his life, but had never been scripturally baptized. And he said, "Preacher, I need to be baptized." And so we talked about it, and I said, "Well, that would be great." And he said, "But I want to be baptized in the creek that's behind my house." And I said, "Well, that'll be great. You know, this spring we'll do that." He says, no, I want to do it now." And this was like January or February. And I said, "There is no way we can do it now. Everything's frozen over." He says, "Well, preacher, listen, if I get a hole in the ice, will you baptize me?" And I have no idea why. But I said, "Yes." And then I started to pray, "Lord, please don't let him get through the ice." And I got to tell you, I'm thankful the Lord answered my prayer. He told me later, he says, "I went out there with a digging iron." He says, "I was beating on the ice trying to get a hole." He says, "I took my chainsaw out there." He says, "I was trying to cut a hole in the ice." But you understand, when it's been 40 below zero, the ice gets really thick. Praise the Lord. And he didn't get through. But I will tell you this, that when springtime rolled around, he came to me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "the ice has broken off the creek behind my house. Will you baptize me now?" And I said, "You mean like now?" And he said, "Yeah, now." And I said, "We'll do it." And actually, believe it or not, there were three other people in the church awaiting baptism. They said, "Would you baptize us too?" So that was four people for that one day. So we set up the time and we got there to the house and we put a ladder down into the creek because the bank was high, but then also the snow was still all piled up. So we're down in that creek and I go down to that creek and, whoo, man, it was cold. I put a thermometer in the water because I wanted to see what the water temperature was. The water temperature was 35 degrees. And I'm in that water. They come down and I take all four of them and I baptize them one at a time. And as I take them down and I bring them back up, the expression was exactly the same on all four. They would come up. I thought for sure I was going to lose at least one of them to a heart attack. But praise the Lord, it all worked out good. And by the way, Pastor, if you ever have to do that, just let you know, four is the limit. Because after the fourth one, I couldn't feel my legs anymore. I mean, it was just completely numb. It was time to get out. So listen, you understand why, if I were Peter, I'd be doing this kind of, you know, checking things out, just seeing what it's like. But listen, you understand, this is Peter that we're talking about, impetuous Peter. And I picture Peter saying, "Okay, Lord, I'm coming." And I think just Peter just stepped out of the boat. I think he just started walking on the water. I know he had his eyes on Jesus when he was doing that. And I don't know, use your sanctified imagination. What do you think about when you're walking on water? Don't know, I've never done it before. You know, but I can tell you one thing Peter's not saying. Peter's not out here walking on the water saying, "Wow, look at what I'm doing. You know, I'm pretty good at this." And I'm doing this without a whole lot of practice. I didn't know I even had this talent. No. Peter, I believe he's walking on the water. I think he's looking at Jesus and saying, "Wow, look at what Jesus is doing. I can't do this. This is something that only he can do. Look at what's going on. This is amazing." As he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on that water. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not. Have you ever thought about the other disciples that are still back in the boat? Have you ever thought about what they're thinking? I think there's some in the boat that are just kind of under their breath mumbling, saying, "Yeah, there goes Peter again, a fanatic. He's going to drown. He did it to himself this time. He's done it this time." I'm not sure. There are probably some others. Remember Simon the Zealot? He was known for being a fighter. And I hear him hollering to Peter, "Peter, fight those waves. You can beat it. You can do it." Judas Iscariot, remember him? He was the guy that held the bag. He had the money for the whole group. I can hear him saying, "You know what? Since Peter's going to drown and he's not going to come back anyways, I'll just move his share of the money into my bag and nobody will ever know. It'll be okay." Or how about, have you ever thought about Thomas? Can you hear what he's saying? He's saying, "I doubt that he'll make it. I doubt that he'll make it." But let's be honest, I think there's probably some disciples back there in that boat that are saying this, man, why didn't I ask if I could walk on the water with Peter to go to Jesus? Wondering, did I miss my opportunity? Should I ask now? Boy, I've blown it. I could be there with him. We could be walking together to meet Jesus on the water. I could be experiencing what he's experiencing. Wow. As you think about this story today, here's the question I want to ask you, and I want you to answer it for yourself. Where are you in this story, spiritually speaking? I have to tell you, and I'm sad to tell you, there are a lot of Christians, they're still back on the shore. You see, they've never really, if you will, gotten on board with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've really not ever really gotten in the boat. They've never, you know, really gotten that burden to serve him and do what he's asked them to do. And let's apply it to missions. You know, they think about missions. Well, that's good for those other Christians. That's good for the pastor to do. That's good for the missions representative to do. That's good for those missionaries. But, you know, that's not for me. And they've never gotten on board with the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you today, let me encourage you, get on board with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that we are all to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But let me make this assumption today. I'm going to make this assumption that mostly everybody, if not maybe everybody today, is on board with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got that burden for missions and you want to do what the Lord asks you to do. And you know, you're just saying, Lord, whatever it is you want, that's what I want. And if that's you today, perhaps God is saying to you, you know what, I have something more for you to do even in addition to that. Maybe not just a serving faith, but maybe there's something that's going to take a special faith. And perhaps God's speaking to you today, maybe about that increase for missions. Maybe it's stepping out and saying, you know, Lord, I believe you do want me to be a full-time missionary serving you somewhere in the world. The laborers are few. And boy, I talk about stuff like that, and sometimes as I talk with young people and college students, they say, now, preacher, you know, I understand that, I understand the need, but there's no way that I could ever leave where I grew up, and that's the only thing I've ever known. And boy, if I surrender to missions, that means I've got to go to Bible college, that means I've got to learn this, I've got to do that. And boy, if God takes me to some other part of the world, that means I've got to learn that culture, that means I've got to learn that language, and I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Can I remind you that as Peter walked on the water, that was not he who did it. It was Jesus Christ who did it through him. And so for you and I, it's not surrendering to do what we can do. It's surrendering to do what he wants to do through us. Are we willing to get out of the boat, have that special faith, and just obey Jesus when he says, come? Peter had a special faith. But let's undo that pause button now and let's look at this part just briefly where, yes, Peter's faith, it does falter. The Bible says there in verse 30, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And notice this, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I got to give Peter some credit here. You see, I'm just stubborn enough that I'd probably wait till the water got right about here before I called out for help. You know, I'm trying everything else on my own. But, you know, Peter, beginning to sink, he cries, and Lord, save me. And look at verse 31. The Bible says that Jesus stood there and he folded his arms and he looked down glaring at Peter and said, why'd you do that? I'm glad that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and said, here you go. You know what? I love that part of the story because that tells me this. When you and I, when we fail him, he's never more than one call away. We just immediately call out to him. And when we do, I'm glad he doesn't sit up in heaven with his arms folded and say, well, you got yourself into this, you get yourself out. No, he immediately stretches out his hand to help us, to meet our needs, to get us back to where we should be. And I don't know, perhaps you're halfway through this missions year and you've not been faithful to keep that commitment that you've made, whether it be praying or giving or going. Let me encourage you today, refocus on your example, the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto him who's the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah, the storm's going on around us, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we realize and admit we can't do it, but we plead for Him to do it through us. And when we realize the work is not ours, it's His work. And faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. It's just a matter of faith. And can I remind you again today? Faith is not just believing in spite of evidence. It's simply obeying in spite of consequences. One other thing I want to mention, and we'll be through. Turn with me to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, and as you turn there, I'll mention that the context of John 6 is the same as the context of Matthew 14. In John 6, beginning in verse 5, you have the feeding of the 5,000, and then after that, you have the story of Jesus walking on the water. But Jesus takes this context, and He preaches about the fact that He is indeed the bread of life. Now look with me at verse 66. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 66, the Bible says, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Number three today, I want to talk about Peter's saving faith. Peter's saving faith. He had a saving faith, and what we read about here is Peter's public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 67, Jesus asks a question. He says, are you also going to go away? Many of His disciples, verse 66, had already done that. The Bible says in verses 70 and 71 that Judas Iscariot soon would do that. But Peter answers and says, verse 68, he says, "Lord, who else can we go to? You're the one, the only one who has the words of eternal life." He says, verse 69, he says, "We believe." He says, "Lord, we are sure that You are the Christ. You indeed are the Son of the living God." I want to say this morning that Peter got it right. And I want to echo what Peter said, that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And you and I must have a saving faith in order to enjoy an eternity in heaven with Him. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father," Jesus said, "but by Me." I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey this morning, but I want to encourage you. If you are here this morning thinking, "Hey, listen, I'm a good person and I'm doing the best that I can. And as long as I'm pretty good, I think God will let me into heaven." The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So many people today are trusting in their own goodness, their own good works to get them to heaven. And I want to, again, echo what Peter said, what Jesus said. Jesus is the only way of salvation. If we say, "Well, listen, I'm going to try and do some of this myself. I'm going to try and work for my salvation." It's like slapping Jesus Christ in the face, saying to Him, "What You did on the cross, it's not good enough. It's not enough. I'm going to help You. I'm going to do something to gain and earn my own salvation." Jesus says it's already paid for. There's nothing to try to gain or earn. It's already done. He says, "Here's the gift of salvation. Will you receive it?" Oh, so many people I talk to, when I ask them about, you know, "Do you have a saving faith? Do you know Christ is your Savior?" They'll say to me, "Well, listen, I'm Catholic. I'm going to heaven." Or, "I'm Lutheran. I'm going to heaven." Or, you know, "I'm Methodist. I'm going to heaven." I've met some really crazy people who say, "Well, I'm an Independent Baptist. Surely I'm going to heaven." Can I remind us this morning, this has nothing to do with a religion, but has everything to do with a relationship to Jesus Christ. You're here this morning, and I praise God for that. But being here today, being even part of this church, does not get you to heaven. If you're here today and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have a saving faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, I want to invite you to come to Him today. We'll have an invitation in a moment, and we want to say to you what Jesus said to Peter: come. You see, Jesus is saying that today. He's saying, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from your own works in your own way, relying only in Jesus Christ for salvation. Oh, dear friend, if you're here without Christ, would you come to Him today? Christian, there's an application here for you and I as well. You see, Peter was bold to make his public profession. It didn't matter to him who heard him. He proclaimed to the world, and we're even hearing about it and reading about it this morning, that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. As we talked about this morning in Sunday school, but what a privilege it is to have a saving faith, to be saved. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Him. And with that privilege comes responsibility to proclaim to a lost and a dying world our public, may make public our profession of faith in Jesus Christ, that indeed Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You say, preacher, how can we get the gospel to every creature? How can I do that which God wants me to do to make public my profession? Well, can I come back to this? It's a matter of faith. And faith is not just believing in spite of evidence. Faith is just simply obeying in spite of the consequences. Are we willing to obey? To have a serving faith? To have a special faith? And do we have a saving faith? And if so, are we willing to make it public to the entire world? Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed?